Okay? All right. I know. Psalm 119. We'll be here till dinner. Oh, boy. We won't keep you that long. All right? But it is good to see you this morning. Psalm 119. I don't know. Sometimes messages, you know, when you fill in, you're kind of just jumping into the middle of something. And so it is a little bit different, but just this week, all week, just, Lord, what would you have me to preach? And I'll be honest with you, I thought I had a direction and had been trudging down that direction pretty much all week. And the Lord said, no, that's not it. And so what that does in my heart is bring a lot of nervousness, all right, for sure. But at the same time, I do believe we've landed where the Lord would have us today. It is a familiar scripture. It's a familiar verse. We're actually just going to be preaching one verse today. But as we look at this verse, I caution us of this. Sometimes the familiarity of scripture, sometimes we allow that to stand in the way of the Lord using it again. And while we come to this verse, well, I'll tell you in just a moment, I would dare say that probably we've all heard it. And I know you've all seen it because it's on the back wall, right? It was, okay? And so it was at one point, and it does. And it's a scripture that we use, but I'm just telling you, we need it. We need it. I don't know about you, but peace sometimes in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives, it sometimes feels like a mythical creature. Sometimes peace, we're saying, yes, the Lord, the Prince of Peace, and that is true, but I'm telling you, I've grown up in church my entire life. And I know that church people deal with a lack of peace. We all deal with it. We all battle with it. And so our goal today is that we look at it and that we see it. So let's turn to Psalm 119, 165. If you're there, let's stand and honor the reading of God's word this morning. Just one verse. Psalm 119, verse 165. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I know I've used it at times in my own life. Well, you can't get offended because, you know, if you love God, then you won't get offended. Well, it's more than a joke. It's a scripture that'll help us today if we'll allow it. The Bible says once again, let's say it. Let's read it all together. Let's do it that way. You ready? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, we come before you this morning. God, I pray that you'd help us. God, the goal of the message is to be a help. God, because on a daily basis, I struggle with peace in my own heart. I struggle with peace in my own mind. God, according to your word, God, the truth is the peace is supposed to be there. God, whether I'm allowing someone to take it, or whether I'm giving it away, or God, I'm not utilizing your word to bring peace in my life, God, I pray that you'd help us today, that you'd show us, God, that we could be helped by it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. When studying scripture, I would say that probably one of my favorite tools to study scripture is actually Webster's 1828 dictionary. I am not a dictionary man. I'm not a word man. English was always a struggle. I know all of y'all were surprised that Mark struggled in English. That's a lie, because you hear me talk, so you know that English is not my forte. But I'll tell you that what our world has done is a lot of definitions they've dumbed down. I can tell you, I'll be honest with you, I didn't look it up, but I do know that a person's vernacular, the words that we use in our day-to-day living is far less than what even in America would have been a normal vocabulary for an individual. We're not getting better and better at communicating. I know we have a lot more tools, but what we're learning is that we're not getting better and better at communicating. Let me show you. Let's start off this passage, and while it's familiar, I don't want the familiarity to hinder me in my study, and so I just start off with the first word, great. Great, and so I just looked it up. I looked it up. Now, I will not recommend this, but just so I could just kind of for giggles, I looked up the word great in what is called the Urban Dictionary. I don't know if you're familiar with the Urban Dictionary, but it is probably, to use the word, the slang using of it, of a word, is one way of putting it. But it, you know, however the hipsters might use it, all right? I don't know, okay? But I looked up the word great in the Urban Dictionary. Ready? Here's what it said. Describe something better than good. Really? Better than good is great. And doesn't that really just hit you home, like hit home and just really settle it in and just, man, wow. Whew, I'm just really helped by that, right? Here's another. When used with sarcasm, describe something that stinks. Okay, all right. Well, big help there. Thank you, Urban Dictionary. Go through it. A sarcastic word people might use if something goes wrong. Oh, great. Right? A word someone might use as a way to congratulate people. Great job. Man, I just feel so much enlightenment flooding over me as I read this definition. Ready? Here's great. Better than best. Here's the illustration. I'm great. I'm better than you. Let me just go ahead and tell you. This is not helpful. And when we come to a word that is so greatly used, many times we miss out on some of the depth that God has for us in His Word just by simply using today's vernacular and understanding the word great. I know that we haven't gone very far, and here we are at the first word. But let me just tell you, in Webster's 1828 dictionary, here's some of the definitions that it gave. Great. Number one, large in bulk or dimensions. Okay, that's a little bit more helpful, right? It's large in bulk or dimensions. It's great. Here's number two, being of extended length or breadth. Okay, right? I mentioned this the other day. Few years ago, I lived in the middle of the panhandle of Texas, which means until I was, I think, 24, I had never seen the ocean. I'd never seen it. And the biggest pond that we had was Lake Meredith. And let me just tell you, you're not missing anything by not seeing it, okay? It's not one of the eight wonders of the world. But I had known what about a 14-foot pontoon boat was, all right? That's about all I knew. And I did travel. I went to Corpus Christi, and there in that port area there, I saw some ships that were great. They were great. I understood that, hey, it's an extended length or breadth. It's a lot bigger than a 14-foot pontoon boat. Sure, they were great. Here's another definition of great, large in number. Number four, expressing a large, extensive, or unusual degree of anything. Now, I know, really, I came to church this Sunday morning so I could learn the definition of great. I'm not so sure this is great. Number five, here it is, ready? Long or continued. Number six, the definition of great is important or weighty. Number seven is chief or principal. Illustration there of, say, the Great Seal of England, showing that importance. Number eight is this, chief of vast power and excellence supreme. Mark, why are you spending so much time on describing great? Because in our mind, we have an idea of what peace is. What peace is that it just seems like everything's going okay. When our scripture here today doesn't talk about peace, it talks about a great peace. So let me ask you, which definition do you want to use of great? And I would dare say that any of these eight sure would be a help. How about large in bulk or dimensions? Do we want peace in fun size or king size? Sure. How about being of extended length or breadth? I'm talking about peace that goes the distance. Sure. How about large in number? Man, I'm talking about great peace. A peace that's great even in number. How about this? Expressing a large, extensive, or unusual degree of peace. You know how the New Testament would say that? A peace that passes all understanding. That's the kind of peace we're talking about today. How about a long continued peace? That'll work. That'll work. You know, if our life, the Bible very clearly says that our life is but a vapor, here and gone in a moment. But in the moment, man, some of those days seem long. The years are short and quick, but the days seem long. And I need a peace that goes the distance, that's long, that's continued. Not only that, but a great peace is something that's important or weighty. You see, what we find in our world today is the offer of peace. But I'm just telling you that most of the time when people are mentioning peace, it's a very superficial and just as long as today goes okay. That's the peace we're looking for. But I'm telling you that in our scripture today, what the psalmist is telling us and is helping us to understand is that when we talk about that peace is available, we are talking about a great peace. Not just that today the car didn't break down. Not just the water heater stayed lit. No, we're talking about a peace that passes all understanding, that cannot be measured, that's large, that's in bulk, that's huge, that's ginormous, that's an extended length, it's large, it's important. And that's the type of peace that, first of all, that we truly are looking for. When we talk about peace, man, we're talking about something that's greater, that's something that sustains me today, but that will carry me 40, 50, 60 years from now as well. And I'm telling you, the world has none of it. They have none of it to offer. You see, we understand that in the last days, that even in prophecy, in the book of Revelation, you know what will deceive the nations at that moment? Is a person who comes and says, I've got peace. Literally. And you know what he's going to do? Destroy it. He offers no peace. There might be an extended moment where it seems like everything's going okay, but I'm just telling you, in the tribulation, it's not a time of peace. But that's what he's offering. And you know why he's offering that? Because that's what we're looking for. We're all looking for peace. Peace in our heart, peace in our minds, peace in our families, peace in our friendships, peace in our relationships in general. We're talking about peace at work. Man, we're looking for it. We desire it. We want it. And here it is the Bible says, here's the one way to get it. Here's how to have a peace, not just a superficial peace, but a peace that is great. A peace that's extensive. A peace so great that it's unusual. Or not like anything you've ever seen before. And that's the peace that the psalmist is saying. So when we read this, great peace have they. Well, hold on a second. Don't skip over that word great. And that's a real peace. A peace that comes far more and in greater depth than just a good day. how we look at peace. The definition of peace is this: freedom from agitation or disturbance by the passions, as from fear, terror, anger, anxiety, or the like. Here's another definition. You ready? Quietness of mind. Tranquility, calmness, quiet of conscience. That's what we're looking for. You see, our world, our society, we really like to use the word anxiety a lot. And I'm not saying that it's not real, and I'm not here to make jokes about it, but I'm here to tell you that we deal with it on a daily basis. We deal with an anxious spirit. I'm anxious. I'm concerned, right? That's what Pastor likes to get me for. He's like, you just like to use the word concerned, but the problem is you're anxious about it. And it's true. We can term it however we want, but the truth of the matter is what it is, it's a lack of peace. It's a lack of peace. You see, so a great peace, let me just combine a couple of these definitions together. So a great peace is this: a large, extensive, or unusual degree of calmness, tranquility, or quiet of conscience. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that. Quiet in my heart, quiet in my spirit, and a large, extensive mass of it. That is great peace. And as I mentioned, this is not mythical. Many times we talk about peace and the fact that our world doesn't offer peace. It offers anxiety. It offers anger. It offers fear. That's what our world offers. And what Jesus offers is far different. It's not mythical. It's not a unicorn. Great peace can be had in our lives today. We look at it and we say, well, man, one day we're going to enjoy some peace. And we will. When God sets everything right, when we're in heaven with Him for all of eternity, one of the words that can be used to describe it is peace. Sure. Sure, rest for our souls. We're looking forward to that day. But I'm telling you, God is not determined for you to suffer until that day. He offers great peace today for us. And as we start here, great peace is available. It's a possession that can be had in our lives. Why? Because great peace is a result, listen, of a loving relationship to God's word. Great peace have they which love thy law. We understand that Psalm 119, the entire chapter, the longest chapter in the Bible, is about the Bible. It's pretty cool. There's like two verses in Psalm 119 that don't specifically, in one form or fashion, say or describe the Word of God. We look at it here. So I'm just looking right off the page from some of the verses right around here. I see the word statutes, His testimonies. Hope in thy word, the meditation in thy word. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. Listen, Psalm 119, if you want to learn more about the Bible, start right there. It describes it in form. So many ways the psalmist is used by God to write down these psalms for us to understand more about God's word. And so who should have a more loving relationship with God, God's word, than God's people? That just makes sense. That just makes sense. I told you, I am not an English major. I went to college, and the test you had to take, one was your English placement test. Not my highest achievement. So let me just tell you what I did with my English book when I exited college. As soon as I was done, I took English the first semester, research and style the second semester, and had to do a research paper. And within days after that, let me just tell you, that book was sold on eBay. I do not need this book. And some of you say, yeah, you really did need that book. Yes, I understand. But let me just tell you, it wasn't what I loved. So as soon as I got to be done with it, I was done with it. I'm afraid that sometimes we treat the Bible that way. God, I'm having a rough day today, and I need something. So we open up God's word. And then the next day, it kind of eases up. Oh, I'm okay today. I'm not saying you do that. I'm specifically saying that I do that. That we miss out on the scope of what God has for us intermingled, intertwined with His word. With His word. Listen, great peace is a product of loving God's law. It right there. Great peace. Listen, it's not, it doesn't say maybe. It says, have they. Great peace have they. There it is. It's summed up. It's got it. Great peace have they which love thy law. And we see that. The presence of great peace shows a love of God's law. However, the absence of great peace shows a lack of loving God's law. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Okay, if the way that I get great peace, according to your word right here, is I'll have great peace in my life when I love thy law, and if I'm not experiencing great peace today, there's something wrong right there. It's bigger than that, Mark. Is it? Sometimes we like to make mountains out of molehills. I'll just tell you, my problem is not usually making molehills out of mountains. That's not usually my go-to. Mine is opposite. Lord, man, what's the problem? I don't have peace in my life, and I don't, well, it's your relationship with my word. No, God, that's not it. That's not it. No, there's something else going on. Will you show me? Well, it's your relationship with my word. No, I'm telling you, God, that's not it. And He says, yes, it is. And I'm trying to make it something greater. I'm trying to say that my anxiety, that my stress, that my lack of peace in my life is because of my family, it's because of my friends, it's because I don't have enough money, it's because I don't have this, I have this, yada, 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 yada. And the Bible says that it's a reason my lack of peace is because of my relationship with His word. Can I just remind you that love is not a noun? It's a verb. I told you I'm no English major. But I do understand the difference. A verb is action. So when we talk about loving God's law, loving His word, for us to really understand what it means to more than just say, I just love the Bible. I just love God's word. And that I'm not trying to lighten the fact that you might say that. I'm not trying to rain on your parade. Not at all. But I'm saying what we do is we say, man, I love your word, God, and we mean it. We do mean it. But many times we say that as a noun. It's descriptive. It's a thing. But loving is a verb. Love is a verb. It's an action. Our presence or lack of peace in our life is determined by what I am doing with God's law. Not just that I like it, not that I just come to church and hear it, but that I do something with it, that I love it. My freedom from terror, my freedom from fear, my freedom from anger and anxiety is based upon what I do with God's word. It's based on it. When we have a loving relationship with God's word, certain attributes will be seen. I can tell my wife all day long, I love you. And she says, pick up your socks. But I love you. Can you help out? Well, I love you. Isn't that good enough? Hey, I mean, I put gas in your car 6 months ago. What's the problem? Right? I love you. Right? Let me just tell you, gas tanks don't run on love. But here's some attributes of a loving relationship to God's word. Ready? Open. Let's have our Bibles handy. We're going to turn to some scriptures this morning. Might feel a little bit more like a Sunday school lesson for a bit. But here's some attributes of loving God's word. So these are some questions, okay? To have a loving relationship with God's word, here's some attributes that'll show up. Psalm 119, verse 18. Just a couple pages over. Psalm 119 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Number one, we got to read it. I know it's simple. I'm telling you. I was telling Brother Brad that I was struggling with this message all week long. Because in my heart, I'm like, well, it's just so simple. And yet, God was saying, even in the midst of that, he's like, yeah, Bubba, and you got a problem with it, so you need it. But here it is. We read it. Number two, we study it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's look at it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Some could even memorize, would have this from memory. But let's remind ourselves. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we got to read it. We study it. We're right here close. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter 2:2. Some of these, as I turn to them, I'm like, it started off saying it by memory, and then I said, no, I'm going to botch it real good. So, but 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Listen, we got to read it. We got to study it. We need to desire it. Listen, that's sometimes something we overlook, that we desire it. Listen, another passage, and we'll look at it. I believe it's Job that talks about desiring it more than our daily food. Man, are we desiring God's word? Are we saying, oh, well, here's the preacher going to give us a spiel for a little bit? Or are we saying, no, I want to hear what God's word has to say. I desire it. Listen, there needs to be a desire in our hearts. No, I'm not saying you're going to understand everything from the moment you read it. But there needs to be a desire in our hearts that says, man, I want to know what God has to say. We see this. We also, Romans 15:4. Let's look there. Romans 15:4. These are the attributes of having a loving relationship with God's word. Romans 15, verse 4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Here it is. Number four is this: learn from it. I say it, I said it Wednesday night if you were here. What we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. That's true. Listen, this is not a tale of two cities. This is not Catcher in the Rye. This is not White Fang. What are you talking about? Those are all just works of literature. This does not compare to that. We should desire it. We should learn from it. We should learn from it. Psalm 119, we're headed right back there. You know this verse, Psalm 119 and verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." We should memorize it. We should memorize it. Let's look over at Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. I promise we're not just turning to these scriptures so we can waste some time for a longer message today, but the desire is that we look at it, we see it from God's word, and then maybe we mark it, maybe we go back and we learn from it. But here it is, Hebrews 4, verse number 12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Listen, here it is. We use it. We use it. I have a book. I won't name the person who wrote it, but it's a very familiar author that we might know. And here it is. It says it's a book of encouragement. And it's literally page by page by page, just one inspirational quote after another. And I'm telling you, it's nice, but here's the problem. God's already given me a book like that. And whether I use it or not, that's what makes the difference. So I'll go over the list real quick. We read it. We study it. We desire it. We learn from it. We memorize it. We use it. Psalm 1. I know we're going quick, but we're going from one end of the Bible to the other. But Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm 1 and verse number 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Listen, "but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." I can tell you, I can think about anything. I've told you, down in that pew where I sit many times, I've built sheds. I've planted gardens. I've fixed vehicles. I've built me a house even from time to time, all while I'm right there. And I can think about anything, anytime. And because I'm a man, sometimes I can think about nothing. But how many times are we thinking about God's word? Do we take time to think about it? I heard a preacher one time, and I don't know why, but it just slapped me upside the head when he said it. He said, "You know, I was hunting the other day, and I was thinking about this passage of scripture." And in my mind, I say, "Oh, yeah, you can do that, can't you?" Sure, we can think about it. How many times do we take time to think about what the news said? How many times do we think about what our coworkers said? How many times do we think about all the other things, but we don't take time to think about God's word? So let's think about it. We'll mention these, but if you want to write it down, here's the scripture reference. Number 8 is that we value it. We value it. That's in Job 23:12, where it talks about that he desired it more than his daily food, that he valued it. 2 Timothy 3:16. Listen, there's great value in the word of God. And when I have a loving relationship with God's word, I value it. Not only this, we're close. Let's look over at Proverbs 30. Lastly, on this point, Proverbs 30. Now, as I say this, I don't want it to sound weird, okay? I can sound weird sometimes. But when I say this, Proverbs 30, let's read that first. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6. The Bible says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Here's what I said. Ready? We need to protect it. We protect it. Now what does that mean? Okay, listen. God said he'll preserve his word. That's up to God. He'll preserve it through every generation. Listen, if our great-great-great-great-grandkids are still here and the Lord hasn't returned by then, I think he probably will. But I'm just saying, if he hasn't returned, those great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids will have God's word. Why? Because he said he'd have it. He said he would preserve it. But what I'm saying is that we protect it. Listen, that we hold it close, that we protect it. Man, I just don't let everybody just make jokes about God's word and get away with it. No, hey, that's God's word. Listen, I cannot stand it. It irks me to the nth degree. It irks me so bad when somebody starts talking about, "Well, you know, it's okay to drink because Jesus turned the water into wine." And I'm like, it crawls up my skin. Why? Because that's God's word. We don't just take God's word and say, "Well, you know, hey," somebody uses it as judge not, right? Don't tell me what to do. Judge not. And I'm just like, God, don't use it that way. Why? Because that's God's word. We don't just take it and say, "Well, I want to do this. Give me a Bible verse to prove it." And take some Bible verse out of context and just say, "Well, see, Bible says it's all right." Don't do that. Why? Because it's God's word. We protect it. We reverence it. It's not just a book. It's not just another thing to put on our shelves, but we protect it and we value it. Sure, those are all things. So here's my question. How is my love for God's word? How is it? I'm not here to say that you have a terrible love relationship with God's word. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this: how am I reading it? How am I studying it? How am I desiring it? How am I learning from it? How am I memorizing it? How am I using it? How am I thinking about it? How am I valuing it and protecting it? And that'll show us more about how our relationship is with God's word than us just saying, well, I love God's word. That'll show us. That's where the rubber meets the road. Not in us saying, I love God's word, but me showing it by what I'm doing. And here's what happens. When I have that type of relationship with God's word, the Bible says that I will have great peace. I'll have it. Great peace have they which love thy law. I will have great peace. So in some ways, some of the reasons why we don't have great peace in our lives could be something along this line in my relationship with God's word. Sure. But let me just tell you, there's a second benefit that the Bible tells us about in loving God's word. Ready? So the first benefit is that we'll have great peace in our lives. And secondly is this, that we'll have stability. Ready? Great peace have they which love thy law, and here it is, and nothing shall offend them. Here we are. We're back to another word, offend. We use it in our vernacular as I'm offended. I'm offended, right? Okay, so what that means is I didn't like what you said. And now my feelings are hurt, right? That's how we use it. That's how we use the word offend, right? Well, that's offensive. You said my beard looks silly. That's offensive. Sure, we use that word. But the definition of the word, I'm telling you, here it is. The guy who's terrible at English, let's go to the dictionary. Time out. My sister and I had an argument one time. And it was how to spell spaghetti. And my dad said what? Go look it up. If I knew how to spell it, I wouldn't have to look it up. And since I don't know how to spell it, I don't know where it is. Right? Because I was saying, no, you say it pusketti. Because I was like six. My sister was nine. And she said, no, it's busketti. Do I look for it in the B's or the P's? Neither. You look for it in the S's. But here we are, these definitions, we're missing out on some of the depth. Well, great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Okay, well, I won't get offended, and I'll be having peace in my life if I just love the word of God. Yeah, that's true, but listen, the word offend is this: to disturb, annoy, or cause to fall or stumble. There's a lot more than, I'm just upset by what the word you said. Here it is. Here's what happens. We're going along. And we think, well, they said something that I don't like, so I'll go this way. No, no, no. The word offend would have this idea, that I see it, I'm offended. I stumble over what was said. Listen, I'm headed one direction, but somebody said something to me, or I was offended by it, and now I'm not going this direction, I'm going this direction. You see here? Listen, there's more here. What offend is to disturb, annoy, or cause to fall or stumble. So what happens is when I don't have a loving relationship with God's word, listen, I'm easy to fall or stumble. Not just my feelings are hurt, that I'll fall or stumble. Well, what does that look like? Well, this was said, and now I'm not going to church no more. I didn't like the way they looked at me. And now I will be packing up and going somewhere else. Okay? That's offended. So what happens is when I have a loving relationship with God and His Word in particular, it brings stability. Why? Because if brother so-and-so doesn't shake my hand, I'm still okay. If sister so-and-so says, your hair looks terrible, I'm still okay. Now, I'm using petty things. All right, say it, Martin. Okay. Sometimes it's the petty stuff that knocks us off track anyways. So I'm using petty stuff as an illustration. But let's be honest, it's not always the deep stuff that gets us on the wrong path. Sometimes it is the petty stuff. Okay, but let's go somewhere deeper. Okay? I didn't like Pastor's message yesterday. I'm not going back. Well, was it from the Bible? Well, I don't know. Well, why don't you know? Well, because I'm not sure what the Bible says about that. Come on. And I'm telling you, I've seen it. I know I'm young. But I've seen people get stumbled. They fall. They quit. They go a completely different direction. And many times, it's from silly stuff. Well, we don't go there. Well, why don't you go there? Well, they didn't have a very good drinking fountain. Okay. The place as assistant pastor is really weird. Now, what am I saying? Listen, when we have a loving relationship with God's word, then these things will not push me off track. Why? Because I know what God's word says. I know that God's word says that sometimes people will hate us and persecute us. Sure. I will understand from God's word that sometimes even people with the best intentions will be used by Satan to cause hurt and harm and can get us off track. But when I'll stay close to God's word, it brings stability. Book of James says it this way. That will be tossed to and fro with every whim of doctrine. Can I just tell you, it matters what people say from the pulpit, from the Sunday school classes. It matters what people say. Why? Because doctrine matters. It matters what Bible we use. It matters the doctrine. It matters. Why? Because here's what happens. People come up with some weird things. And what happens is this. It's like a whim. Oh, okay, we're going this way. Let's go this way now. And I'm telling you, in the name of Christianity, there are people who go from every whim of doctrine that comes their way. It happens. But what happens is when I have that loving relationship with God's word, I'm stable. I know it's silly. I was not a great football player. But I tried every once in a while. And I remember, shocker, I was a lineman. Okay, all right, some of you are not shocked by that, all right? I wasn't either. He's like, you're not fast, and you can't catch, and you're real big. I think you're a lineman there, sir. All right, coach, so I remember this. I remember being on the line the first time, and my legs were real close. How do I do this, coach? Get down on, oh, okay. Boom, knocked over, first go, right? He said, hey, widen your stance. Widen your stance, right? We understand that, right? From here to here. There's a lot more stability there. Somebody comes and knocks you over right here. Oh. When I've got my feet planted and my legs are spread apart here, I've got more stability. When we have a loving relationship with God's word, we can stand firm on the foundation of God's word. We won't be tossed to and fro with every whim of doctrine. Why? No, that's not what the Bible says. I'm not following you in that. That's not what the Bible says. And I know that there are people who've had to take serious stances because somebody was saying something that wasn't in the Bible. But here's the problem. Sometimes those issues steal our peace. Let's be honest. Because we don't know what the Bible says about it. And therefore, now I'm not stable. Now, maybe. I'll just say it. That's where some of that YouTube stuff. And you got to be ultra careful. Watching somebody, listening to something. It could be a YouTube video. It could be a podcast. Listen, we are people who like to have things in our ears and listening to things all the time. But what we got to make sure is that what I'm hearing, I'm running it through the filter of Scripture. Is what they're saying, is that Bible? Something about that sounds weird. And so I get into God's Word, and then all of a sudden, man, wow, no, that wasn't right. And now I'm firm in this doctrine. Man, I'm firm in that. Nobody can push me over. Why? Because I've learned from God's Word. And what that does, it brings peace. Because now I'm not troubled by it. Take heed lest you fall. Listen, we got to be in a humble position at all times. But at the same time, we need to stand firm in the fact that, hey, no, the Scripture says what God wanted it to say. And I'm going to stand firm in that. And what it does is it brings me stability and it brings me peace. Why is that important? Because we have a lot of Christians today who are living with no peace. And God says great peace is available. I just give you a personal testimony. When I finished my Bible reading this last year, I got done a couple days before Christmas. And I finished it. I got done with reading God's Word. And I finished it. And I said, I want to start again. So by the time January 1st came up, I personally, what I do is I have a year reading Bible. It's King James Bible, only Bible I'll ever use. But in it, it's got a daily portion. And so it literally says January 1st, there's a portion from Genesis, there's a portion from Matthew, there's a portion from Psalms, and there's a portion from Proverbs. And it just breaks it down on a daily basis. And that's how I read through my Bible. And I get done, and I read December 31st. And I just say, let's do it again. And if I can encourage you in anything, it's this. Start. Start. Start having a loving relationship with God's Word. A loving relationship. Which means I read it. I listen. I apply it. I use it. All of those things and many, many more. And what you'll find is what comes from that is great peace and stability. And there are people who have been saved for years. And I don't mean to insult, but I would consider them still newborn babes in Christ. And the reason why is because they don't have that loving relationship with His Word. What does God say? What does He want me to know? You know what brings peace? I'll just illustrate it. What brings great peace in my life is this, that I look over to Psalm 121. You might look there if you will. But Psalm 121 helps me. When I read God's Word, when I hear it, when I apply it, when I do those things, I study it. I read things like Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And I read passages of scripture like that. You know what it does? It helps me. Why? Because sometimes I'm in a mess. But passages of scripture like this, I will lift up my eyes and look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And many times the reason why you're anxious, the reason why you're angry, the reason why you're struggling with lack of peace is because we're not utilizing God's word. And there will be a price to pay. I've heard it said this way. You've heard it too. We are no closer to God than we are to his word. God, I want to be close to you. Great. How close are you to his word? And I'm telling you, I'm giving personal testimony to say in the times of my life where it feels like I've had no peace, I look at it and I say, I haven't been in God's word. Oh, we've already said it before. I had a drug problem when I was a kid, right? Amen. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning and drugged to church on Sunday night. And I had to go. I know this isn't politically correct, and that's fine. But I would have got a whooped for it if I didn't go. But I'm just telling you, I had to go. But at the same time, I missed out on so many opportunities because I wasn't paying attention to God's word, and I wasn't receiving it, and I wasn't loving it, and I wasn't acting upon it. And you know what happened in my life? I didn't have peace. Because the peace that he offers, don't forget, it's a great peace. It's a peace that goes the distance. It's a peace that helped Job through all that Job went. Job himself, I've never experienced a day like Job experienced. I've never lost my entire family in one day. I've never had my friends, all of them turn against me. I've never had my wife turn against me, say, just curse God and die. I've never lost every bit of what we would say fortune. I've never lost all of it in one day. And that was one day. And you look at Job and you say, Job, how do you go through that? Well, in a portion of scripture where Job says this, I value God's word more than my daily sustenance. Oh, see, that's a great piece. That's a piece that went the distance. It's a piece that's great. Now, here's the truth. The truth of the matter is sometimes we don't have a lack of peace. Because first of all, we've never met the Prince of Peace. You see, a lost person can come to God's word and they could say, man, I just need to read God's word. And they'll probably say it this way. Man, I've always wanted to read the Bible. I've always thought that'd be an interesting read. Yeah? Well, can I just tell you? God wants more than just to read. For you to read it. He wants you to meet him. Meet him in salvation. Many times the reason why we don't have peace in our lives is because we've never met the Prince of Peace. We've never turned from our sin, acknowledged that we're a sinner, and accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So we don't have peace because of that. And that's very true. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. Listen, he's merciful and he's gracious. And he's so kind to us that he's wooing us and he's calling us to himself. But listen, it's dependent on what we choose to do with his word. Will we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? You will never experience peace outside of Christ. You won't. The Bible says hell for all of eternity is your destination. And I don't say that to be mean. I don't say that to be a jerk. I don't say that to be unkind. I say that to tell the truth to you. That without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where you turn from your sin, you acknowledge it, you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and he saves you, listen, you'll never have peace. You'll never have peace till you meet the Prince of Peace. A Christian, I say that loosely, because Christian means that we're Christ-like. Saved individual, are you experiencing peace today? Well, not really. Okay. Here's the answer. Start loving it. Well, I read it and I don't understand it. Well, don't quit. Don't quit. This one's hard. Give me a different one. No, 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 no. He said that he wrote it down. The way he wrote it down on purpose. Because listen, words have meaning. And God didn't just say that he wants you to have peace in your life. He says he wants you to have great peace. And the way to have great peace is by loving his law, his word. And then you'll have stability as well. You know what this world needs? Stable Christians. You know what this church, Central Baptist Church in Gillette, Wyoming, you know what we need? Stable Christians. Not stable in your power, not stable in your ideas, not stable in that you're stable on God's word. We do it in humility, not in pride. Nothing can take me away from God's word. Take heed lest you fall. But in humility, we say this, God, I want to be a stable Christian whose life is characterized by peace. No, how about great peace? It's all just by how I use God's word. So how about it, Christian? To the individual who's never met Christ, I'm asking you today. I'm pleading with you. I'm begging. God, that you will never experience peace outside of the person of Jesus Christ. And you're struggling today because you're lost. Jesus doesn't want you to leave that way. Saved individual, are you struggling today with your peace? Mark Rice, on a regular basis, struggles with his peace. And it's a problem in my life with how I'm using and loving God's word. Maybe today that'll help. Lord, we thank you so much for all of your many blessings. God, you've been so good to us. God, we only know that you've been so good to us because of your word. God, the fact that you love us, that you're merciful, that you're kind, that you're gracious, we learn all of that from your word.